Today we want to think on the subject of persevering joyfully. Back in the first week of January of the year 2000, I received a letter from the president of Faith Baptist Bible College. And let me read just a little bit of the letter. Dear Pastor and Mrs. Gonerman, during the recent holiday period, a dear sister in Christ said to me, Dr. Haug, what is one of your goals for the new year and the new millennium? How would have you responded? I thought for a moment and then replied, to persevere joyfully. Having crossed the threshold of a new year and a new millennium, I trust this finds you rejoicing in the Lord without condition. And in the energy of the whole holiday spirit, seeking to be found faithful, persevering by God's grace and for His glory. In all of history, this is a great time to be alive, given the numerous opportunities that are ours to serve Christ and to spread by life and by lip the gospel of grace. Years ago, I heard an evangelist say, as the days grow darker and darker, may our light shine brighter and brighter. And certainly since the year 2000, the days are certainly getting darker, aren't they? The Apostle Paul was a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Even though he had faced much adversity, he always rejoiced and faithfully persevered. Note what he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And this will be our first point. Rejoice unconditionally. Rejoice unconditionally. And in Philippians 4, verse 4, we read, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now notice he said rejoice always, and we can ask, always? When Paul wrote that, there were numerous things they could have remembered. They could have remembered what happened to Paul himself when the church was started. Paul and Silas came to Philippi, and notice back in Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 12, Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And then skip down to verses 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And then a demon-possessed girl involved in fortune-telling was converted after that. Those who profited from this demon-possessed girl became very angry and caused an uproar. And notice in Acts 16, beginning with verse 22 to 24, And the multitude rose up together against them. That was Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now, they were beaten, they were put in maximum security, and their feet were put in stocks. Now, how did Paul respond? Could he possibly have done what he later wrote to the church that they should do? Well, notice in verse 25 of Acts 16, we read, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." Now he did exactly what he later told these Philippian believers that they should do in Philippians 4:4. Then about 7 years later after this, Paul wrote concerning the believers of Philippi and other area churches. And notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, they endured much affliction and were in deep poverty, but not only was Paul able to rejoice unconditionally, but he told them what God wants them to do, that he wants them to do the same always. Remember, he said, "Rejoice always, even if everything seems to be against you, or if you have few possessions, or if others oppose you and don't understand you, or if your health is failing," and we could name numerous other things. But Paul said, regardless, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't really get it, he said, "And again I say unto you, rejoice. Continue to do so." Now, secondly, we want to think on the subject, faithfully persevere. Faithfully persevere. Notice again back in Philippians, this time in chapter 3, verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul, one of the greatest missionaries to ever grace this world, wrote of his goal and heart's desire. And we just read that in verse 14. Now, note some things Paul said about himself. In verse 12, he said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Now, as great of a missionary as the Apostle Paul was, he knew that he wasn't perfect. Now, I can think of some really great men of God. I think of Robert T. Ketchum, who was the head of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches years and years ago. And I think of another man named Paul Tassel. And I think of a pastor named David Moore, who was pastor of Walnut Street Baptist Church in Waterloo, the first fundamental Bible-believing church that I attended, and that's where Marguerite was attending, where I first met her. And then I think of Pastor Norman Hoag, when I had those 3 years off when I was down in southern Iowa and went to First Baptist Church in Creston, Iowa. Pastor Norman Hoag was pastor there, and what a help and a blessing he was to my life. Now, as good of pastors and preachers that each of these men were, each realized that they were far from perfect and desired to be better. This doesn't mean we should have a defeatist attitude and that we are of no good if we think that. We need to have that same humble attitude that no matter where we are spiritually or how spiritually mature we may be, we still are not perfect and all that we can be. We still aren't there. Another thing the Apostle Paul said in verse 13 that we read, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Notice he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, forgetting our failures. A person can dwell on one's failures and begin to think that we're just a failure, that we can never accomplish anything good, and so we just quit trying. And the Apostle Paul says, I forget that, my failures. Anyone who hasn't at some period of time failed is a person who doesn't step out and attempt new and better things. And then we should forget our victories and accomplishments and successes. Now, you really can't forget those things, and certainly we ought to be thankful for that which God has allowed us to accomplish, but we should forget them from the standpoint of not just reveling in what we have accomplished and not just being content with what we have done in the past, and therefore have no desire to press forward to new and better things. Now, regardless of what Paul had failed in and in what he had already accomplished, he put all those things behind him with a great desire to press forward. Let me read again in Philippians 3, verse 14. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark that gains the prize or the reward. Now, the mark is that which God has called us to. And what is it? He's called us to Christ-likeness and spiritual maturity. You see, we should always press forward to become as Christ-like as we can become, and to become as spiritually mature as we can become. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." He said that I may know him more closely, more intimately, and that I may experience more and more of his power in our life. And I want to be faithful and faithfully serve him regardless of the cost. And he hadn't attained that. in all of its fullness yet, but he pressed forward to that. And we can't attain that in all of its fullness, but we should be pressing forward. Paul said, I'm going to just keep pressing forward. Now, as I think of Paul's statement, I press toward the mark, or I press on, that's what I should be doing all the time. And that's what I and each of us should always want to do. Pressing on may sometimes be plodding, making much slower progress than we would like. And sometimes that can disturb us and can discourage us when we aren't seeing everything accomplished that we would like, so that we're anything but joyful. It can disturb us so much that we aren't joyful. But God desires us to be faithful, and he desires us to be joyful, and he desires us to persevere, to keep pressing forward. He wants us to persevere and do it joyfully, regardless of what happens in our life, regardless how many accomplishments we've had or how many failures we've had. He wants us to keep pressing forward to become as Christ-like as we can and to become as spiritually mature as we can. Again, remember the verse we used at the beginning, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, before we can do any of this, we have to first be a child of God. We have to have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior by faith. And if you haven't made that decision, I want to encourage you, even today, to ask God to forgive your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then after you become one of his children, and then start pressing forward to become as much as like Christ as you can become, and to become and to accomplish as much for him as you can accomplish. Father, thank you for this morning that we've had together. And Lord, I pray that each of us that have listen to what your word has said, that each of us might, regardless what happens in our life, that we might keep pressing forward and that we might always be joyful. I pray that each of us would rejoice in the Lord always, regardless of what happens in life. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.